Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
You start this. Hold on.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for December 17th. What? It's Friday night, December 17th. No good mornings to everybody, but holidays today. There is one holiday today on Friday, December 17th, in which we are live right now. It's National Maple Syrup Day. You know, I had maple syrup this morning, so.
I just got a big jar of it.
I'm a big fan of maple syrup, and I made pancakes with it, too. So today's National Maple Syrup Day. Birthdays today, former WWE wrestler Eugene. You might remember Eugene, or he's also known as Nick Dinsmore. He's 46 today. It's a shame, because if we were on tomorrow, we would have had some really cool birthdays, though. Get this, who's born on the 18th of December. Steve Austin, Trish Stratus, and RVD. So that quite the collection there of wrestlers who were born tomorrow. But today we've got Nick Dinsmore, a.k.a. Eugene, which they could never do again. That's something they could never do again. I'm pretty sure of it. The Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, Donuts Delight, Empire Culver. Come on out to Salvatore's at the garage door for UFC 270, January 22nd. I want to thank everybody who came out for 269. What a night of fights. Incredible. But 270s, January 22nd, prelims start at 8, pay-per-view starts at 10, and as always, no cover, we'll be there. Bill, let's see, hey, interested in roller derby, you want to be a skater, officiate, Rock City Roller Derby needs you, contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com, and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, Flower City Fear. Good evening, Dante. We've got some people in the chat room already. Flowercityfear.com, we always can use help. Thank you so much. For listening, and we're going to get into the world of pro wrestling. I am the Cash Man, your humble host. I am joined by DC Dan Cole. DC, good evening. Good evening. Danger Boy, how you doing?
Good evening.
And the artiste Rob Sanderson. Good evening.
Morning.
I was going to say good morning.
I'm not switching it.
Yeah, it's morning someplace on the other side
good
of the planet.
Good day, sir.
I said good day.
Good day. Good day. All right. Interesting. We are not only are we live Friday night here on the Pain Clinic Facebook Live, but we're also watching wrestling as we're doing this, or some of us are. I'm trying to. Right now they're trying to pull.
I will be at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I was going to say right now they're trying to pull Drew McIntyre's sword out of a desk, and it's kind of silly. It's Baron Corbin doing it. It's kind of dumb. But we're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling, and we're going to talk about the news, and then maybe if something flips our fancy from what's going on the SmackDown for the next 1 hour, as well as we've got Rampage coming up at 10 o'clock. We'll be live through the whole thing. And you guys can leave comments. You can ask questions. We've got Dan Sullivan also joining us, Kevin, Ralph, Dante. I always felt like a bum trying to get up on Saturdays to hear the show. This Friday live show sounds great to me. All right. You know, it's like, it's just what,
those,
you know,
early Saturday mornings where you had to shovel your car and drive to the station and find a place to park. And I like this Friday
parking
night
was
right
the
now.
Worst.
Yeah, it was. And now with, you know, be thankful that we're not there now because they have that Holiday Village out there.
That was fun to go to, though. I quite enjoyed going to that.
Did you go into one of the hexagonal domes that they have there?
No, those things sold out in like 15 minutes. We actually looked into it at one point and it was gone. But had some good beverages, some good food, and had a good time.
Awesome. I mean,
way back in the day when they sometimes had the outside doors to Midtown Plaza locked in the winter.
Oh,
somebody had to run down. Yeah, that was a good time. Rest in peace, Midtown Plaza.
Yeah, it's nothing left there except for a big grass field right now. But yeah, I will tell you that we are delayed from Saturday morning because tomorrow, I actually, believe it or not, we're going to be on the radio doing our Gary, Mervis's Camp Good Days and Special Times radio show. And so I can't go live here and there at the same time. It would be interesting, though. I could just, like, you know, ignored what was on the radio and I could have gone to this, but we will just do it here tonight live. And we can talk about anything you guys in the chat room want to talk about. Let your friends know, by the way, that we're going to be doing this right now too. I know we talked about it last week and, you know, I kind of sent a few teasers out on Facebook. But let anybody know who's interested and wants to ask a question or anything to that we're on right now, and we're going to be on kind of like live viewing. I mean, I could turn my monitor around and you could actually see my TV. I'll do it for a second because hopefully it doesn't knock everything down.
Oh, here comes the copyright.
Yeah, we're getting trademarked.
Oh, you can't see it when you got the Earth in the background. I got to change the background.
Couldn't see it because of the world.
The world was in the way. Hold on, let me change it. You guys want to see the background? No background. There, look.
Drew McIntyre is Thor.
Okay, let's see. There, we're watching SmackDown for about 2 seconds there. So, you know, we are definitely watching it. Now let me get back on ISS. There we are. All right. So we're going to talk the world of pro wrestling. We're going to take your questions and anything. But we're going to talk a lot about stuff that happened this past week. And I'm going to start out by talking about, and listen, I know WWE's on. We're going to talk about Winter's Coming from this past Wednesday. The hype, the buildup. We got the main event started the show. You know, we've got, which was, of course, Daniel Bryan Bryan Danielson versus,
Garlic Bread.
Yeah, I didn't want to get the Garlic Bread. You know, versus the champion there. And, what do you guys think about it in general? I mean, it was a lot of hype building this up, everything. Remember last year? Last year when Sting debuted?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we got a main event match that, you know, on TV that as soon as it hit about the 30 minute mark, I'm like, this is going the whole hour. I just felt it, you know, and it's like, I think it was probably one of the best matches I've seen all year. It was super exciting. It went back and forth. I mean, I will give Adam Page a lot of credit because he sold like no other champ I've seen in a long time. I mean, he took everything from Bryan Danielson. Everything. Top rope maneuvers, you know, finishers, the cattle mutilation. He took everything from him. And then Bryan Danielson took everything from Adam Page too. You know, I mean, he kicked out of his finisher just about. It was an exciting start to the show, but overall, after that, it's like, you know, it was okay. I mean, we were expecting more, I think. What'd you guys think?
Yeah, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. Honestly, outside of that, you know, pay-per-view quality match, you got to start the show the whole first hour. The rest of it was kind of a miss. Definitely, I don't think lived up to the hype. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, that opener that went the full hour between Bryan Danielson and Adam Page was outstanding. You know, that's a match that you should have paid for and you got it for free on TV. You know, mixed thoughts on the finish, if you want to call it that. But I can see, you know, several potential angles coming from this. I could totally see Bryan doing the heel thing of saying, oh, you know, Kenny Omega had 30 minutes. He couldn't beat me. You had 60 minutes. You couldn't beat me. When in actuality, it's, you know, he couldn't beat Omega or Page. But it'll be interesting to see where they go from here. But, yeah, aside from that first hour, I think it was a letdown.
Yeah, I'm going to concur with you two. First hour is great. I've seen a lot of mixed feelings on the finish of the match, and my thoughts on it. I watch a lot of recap shows from over in the UK, a lot of recap shows, a lot of news shows, because they do some pretty good YouTube stuff on from the UK. But their whole thing is you wanted a sports-based entertainment program and ties happen in sports. Well, that happens in your sport because your sport over in the UK is very boring and they tie 1-1 or 0-0. Here in the States, it doesn't happen very often. And I watched wrestling for a long time. I know that time limit draws and going the Broadway have a spot in everything. But when you just built up a guy who couldn't beat someone else for so long and it finally overcame that hurdle, you should probably let him beat. It could have gone 59 minutes and 55 seconds. I don't care. You should probably let him beat the next person he faces.
Well, that's the question I wondered about that match is how does either of them lose or win, you know? I mean, without damaging the others, you know, what's going on? And then exactly what we saw, another 10 for Bryan Danielson, this is the second time he's tied with a heavyweight champion.
I think the tie looks worse for both guys. And I don't think a loss would have hurt Bryan Danielson at all.
No, not at all.
At some point, Danielson or Punk has to lose. And they both should have by now.
Well, now they're both going to lose to Hook. So,
yeah, I don't. I mean, the match was good. It was not as good as Danielson Omega in my book. I think Hangman's a very good wrestler, but he's not. To me, he's not on the same like top level. He's really good. He's the guy right now. This match was good. It's only going to help him, but I don't know. I almost would have rather if they wrestle a series of matches, like wait to do the Broadway as opposed to the first one. It just didn't, I don't know. It didn't necessarily keep my interest the exact same way that some other hour long matches have in the past. I don't know. So that the match is good. I don't want to hate on it too much. The rest of the show, aside from Wardlow, was fine, but I don't know. I just don't think it was, I think it got really hyped by some people after the fact. And to me, it was a really solid match, but I don't think I agree. Like Hangman not getting the win. Does the hour itself, like, okay, you lasted an hour with the challenger, but that doesn't further prove you as a champion. He needed that win. So,
yeah, that's the thing too. It's like, I think when they started with the match, and I think Rob, you pointed it out, it's like, okay, that means there's gotta be something better on the end of this show to you know.
Yeah. And that was the biggest disappointment of the whole night. Do not do a lights out thing and then have people that are already on the roster appear.
People you see every week. Every week.
That was the biggest letdown I could remember from AEW, at least since the pyrotechnics incident of Revolution. But that was
exploding ring.
Are you kidding me? Like, there's so many different possibilities that would have worked for that. Whether it was the Briscoes, Sting puts together some good stuff, but come on, I don't care. You do not turn the lights out for that.
And that combined with the fact that they had teased all night long, oh, Tony Khan's going to be here with a huge match announcement. Yeah. And then when it's, you know, 9:59 and the match hasn't been announced and you see all the people that are in the ring, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see what the big announcement is.
And all of a sudden it's on the screen. And then, so you've got Sting appearing in the ring. He's already on the roster. You've done the lights out thing as part of Malakai Black's like permanent stuff. You did it with the debuts of Cole and everybody. Like, why would you do it in this circumstance? It's not a surprise. I guarantee, if you're the biggest Sting fan in the crowd, I don't care. If the lights turn back on and somebody who's already part of the roster be like, why did you turn the lights out? This is dumb.
Yeah. Oh, no, I would agree. And they almost like expect a pop from Darby, too, with the way he came out, you know? And then Punk. You know, and it's like, okay, and, you know, Punk was the last of the three to come out, of course, you know. Where were they, in Texas? Is that where?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he had that wonderful shirt. He had that wonderful shirt on. That
well, I was glad he had that shirt on to counter the shirt I had to look at in the front row all night.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Yeah. There was,
I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
Let's say,
I have a feeling I know what you're going to say without.
So you probably know what it is. And that it was a play on the NASCAR logo.
That's exactly what I was guessing after the chant at ESW. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
original and creative and hilarious.
Sticking it to the libs.
Well, you know, it's, we're in Texas, you know, sorry. I love
some
you guys.
Of us aren't anymore.
No, I love you guys. If you're from Texas, following us, if you're following us from Texas, I don't know if you guys have internet there yet. So maybe,
Power of the power grid. Yeah.
If you're from like Austin or someplace in Houston, maybe most of the state, I'm really not fond of you.
Yeah. True. So we're all kind of, I think, concurring that Winter's Coming weren't getting what we got last year, you know, that without a doubt, you know, there was
winter came and it sputtered out.
Yeah.
We were supposed to get the Owen Hart tournament. Like the Owen Hart Cup announcement, that didn't happen.
No, that's going to actually happen tonight on Rampage. So that's that. You know, while we're watching this, we'll
in between the 8 and 10 man tags.
Yeah, that's another thing they announced. Yeah. That's another thing they announced was first there was an 8 tag, and then it's like, so when you have two multi person tag matches, that's pretty much going to take up the whole hour. I'm guessing, you know. I got to get my stuff in, you know?
So, well, they've got, what is it? Penelope and Ty are in a submission match.
Yeah, I believe so.
I've seen so many submission holds from Penelope Ford. So they've got like 20 wrestlers on a 1 hour show tonight.
Kip Sabian is out with the robot helmet on again, right? Doing some break dancing or something. You know, yeah. Some people are kind of agreeing with us. It looks like winter was the drizzlings. Okay, thank you, Dante. People in New York shouldn't.
In New York shouldn't throw stone.
I know we shouldn't throw stone. I'm sorry, Tom. You know, it's like, but yeah.
Where do people in North Carolina fit into this?
Well, I don't know.
They're mostly transplants at this point, so
yes. much like Florida too, you know. Apparently, so Winter's Coming kind of was a bit of a disappointment. Now we know that tonight's Rampage was taped. I have not looked at any of the spoilers or anything, so we will be experiencing it live as it's on at 10 o'clock tonight. But you guys can send us any questions or comments. I appreciate that. And I'll read them. I don't care. You know, even if you don't agree with us, I appreciate you out there listening. We're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling. And we've talked a little AEW to start the show. I want to kind of go into something else that went on last weekend, and that would be Ring of Honor, Final Battle. And that was, you know, to me now after hindsight, I think that was it. I really, when you see Kerry Silken saying we tried our best in a post and posting it on, you know, and Joe Koff, remember Joe Koff is the one who was on the show with us when he first came in. He's the guy who worked for Sinclair and was the one who was like pretty much the behind everything that they, you know, syndication and the way that they were doing stuff. And both those guys were in the ring, kind of tipping their hat at the end and, you know, and saying we tried the best we could. I see that. I think maybe Final Battle was exactly what it said, Ring of Honor's Final Battle. But I'll tell you, if you watched it, you got a few surprises out there that nobody was expecting. I think we're a little spoiled because we have Dalton, you know, being Dalton Castle was wrestling on that show and everything. We can go through and talk a little bit, but you guys, anyone get a chance to see it? I did not see it. Okay. I just read the results and I've seen some of the videos.
I've seen the videos of the surprises and stuff, but I did not have a chance to watch the whole show.
I did see it. I didn't see the hour one or some of the Dragon Lee match, but I saw everything else, finished watching it yesterday. It was really good. I thoroughly enjoyed the show. You know, they had all those video messages from the alumni that have been put on social media. And, you know, that was really cool. A lot of heartfelt messages and everything that those guys are saying is true. I mean, you know, for those of us that were diehard ROH fans in the beginning, and yeah, it hasn't felt the same as of late, but the contributions that company has made to the business are huge. Everything would be different if that company hadn't been a thing. So I thought it was kind of, I don't like, like, I don't want this to be the end of Ring of Honor, and I think we all think it is. I just, if it is, I'd rather know now. And so it was kind of awkward throughout the night, the way that they were wording stuff and making it sound like it is the end. And then at the very end, they put up a graphic that says like April 2022. And like, is that going to happen? Probably not. I don't know. But overall, I give credit to ROH for coming through and doing this show. I give credit to Tony Khan for letting some of his contracted people show up. That definitely added a lot. Same goes for Scott D'Amore and Impact and Deanna showing up. Obviously, FTR showed up. Jay Lethal was in the main event in an awesome match with Jonathan Gresham. I thought it was a really good show. I really like it. It was mostly kind of the new ROH crew. And I guess that's my only, I wish there had been some more kind of throwbacks to kind of maybe celebrate the whole history or whatever. But if you get a chance to watch, it's worth watching. Some really good matches, some surprises. And I don't know, hopefully it's not the end, but I think it's the end.
Yeah. And they got two matches in the first hour that were freebies on the pre-show, you know, which we got to see Angelina Love and Mandy Leone and Chelsea Green. And then the other match was The Righteous versus Shane Taylor Promotions. And Shane Taylor, another guy, you know, who knows? I mean, will anyone pick him up? What's going on with that guy?
Shane Taylor and Kenny King had a crazy fight without honor on the main card.
Yeah.
That was one of the highlights of the night for sure.
Yeah, I'll just throw this out. One of the biggest surprises was we got to see Andrew Scheer, I believe, or Adam Scheer, which you guys might remember. He was known as Braun Strowman in WWE. It's the first time he's appeared anywhere that we could see him. And he came out part of EC3's group. And EC3, of course, being in the match as well. But I thought that was very interesting that, the funny thing is there was no WWE. There's a lot of guys in WWE who benefited from this company and apparently WWE would not allow them to send videos or anything because
they're WWE.
Yeah, we know that.
Because WWE sucks. That's why, yeah. They won't give any credit to the fact that Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, all these guys.
Cesaro.
Came through Ring of Honor and... they just want to act like they created everybody and another reason why they suck. So
my eye movements are Don Knotts like. Thank you. I'll try to keep staring at the camera, I guess. Sorry. Andy. No, sorry. Sorry. That's terrible. But yeah, no, I agree. And I just like, and remember, I remember 2CW's last show. I believe there was a Kevin Owens video that was on that. I'm sorry, not the last show they've done this year, but I mean the one before
the two sets,
the original last show.
Yeah, they took the before the hiatus, and Kevin Owens actually sent out a video, and they were allowed to. So it's interesting that you know, yeah, I yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how many were aware of that and stuff. But,
oh,
yeah. You know, sometimes ask for forgiveness later. So
true. And then maybe it was recorded. It was streamed. Was it streamed? I can't remember, but I know it was recorded. So
the show, it was live streamed. Yeah.
Okay. So,
I mean, the message from Kevin was not live.
No.
But,
no.
Yeah. That appeared at the very end.
I remember that because it was like, wow, someone from WWE presented something to this goodbye. And it's and then I look at this and none of this. They did absolutely nothing with them. So, I hold out hope. I mean, I don't, you know, maybe the 3 months, maybe they will come back. They still, like they said, they have dates after WrestleMania. So,
it's almost like, what's the point? Because if you're going to try. You're stopping everything. You're going to start back up with nobody under contract, not the same rot. Like what are you doing? Like, I assume maybe they're going to try to shop it around and sell it to somebody. But like at that point, you're just using the name. I just don't see the point of it. If it's not the same Ring of Honor that we're used to, like just start something else. I don't know.
Yeah, I will say that it's still on TV. I mean, it's on this weekend on our team. Yeah. So I don't know. Sorry about my dog. I don't know I guess we'll hold out hope. I mean, but I got a sinking feeling when I saw Joe Koff in that photo in the ring saying we tried our best as the caption. It's like, well, I don't, you know, it gets me to worry about that. So yeah, maybe he'll do like NXT, Dante, and do a 2.0, ROH 2.0. So
no, thank you.
No, but now there's a lot of guys who are free though. After this, you know, I mean, Dalton Castle, I mean, you know, I think anybody, he would benefit any roster he went to. Gresham, I mean, and that's another thing too I want to mention while we're doing it, is that Gresham is actually defending the Ring of Honor title probably while we're speaking right now, because there's a GCW show that's being streamed right now on Friday night on Fight TV. You can actually pay for it. I think it's like $19. And Gresham's in the main event, he's on a match, not the main event, but he's going to be taking on AJ Gray. As well as the Briscoes are defending the ROH World Tag Titles on this GCW show tonight. So
yeah, I don't. That doesn't start for a little bit because I know it's out in LA. So shows, I'm not sure what the bell time is for that, but it might be 8. It might not start till 11 Eastern. I'll check on that.
Oh man, maybe we should stay on for an extra hour and tune it in.
I'm too old for that.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure tonight is the night. I think they're doing Cardona and Chelsea Green against Effie and Alley Cat, I believe.
There was a whole card that I kind of cut out of the news piece just because it's like I was trying to make it all fit on one page. So, but yeah, there was a bunch of other matches that there's a ton of stuff going on tonight.
It's one of their better cards. Yeah, 11 o'clock Eastern on Fight TV. So.
Okay,
Blake Christian, Alex Zane, Jacob Fatu, Matthew Justice. There's a bunch of good stuff on there tonight. So sometimes I'm not their biggest fan. Sometimes I really enjoy their shows. It kind of depends on if it's more deathmatchy or whatever. But tonight looks pretty good. So
yeah, well, that's going on later tonight. So that would be like after the 10 o'clock showing here on the East Coast of Rampage. You could tune into that. You can get wrestling all night on this Friday night. Good for you. If you have I think it's not expensive. I think it was like $20 or something like that on Fight TV. So, you know, it's just pretty cool. You definitely can get that. So it's you know, and I'm glad I brought up Ring of Honor, because what do you guys think in the message room?
Actually, I thought you were right on that. This is $13.99.
Oh, is it $13? So, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, it's even cheaper than I said. So,
yeah.
All right. So let's see. I'm looking at Dante. He's like, he was on that Free Your Narrative 2 show. EC3 and Shear decided to give it away for free on YouTube. Looks like WWE pulled up the Brinks truck to the Steen house. Oh, yeah. We got to talk about that in a minute. Yeah.
Hey, you would have thought maybe he could have thrown something into his negotiations where he could have done a little video for ROH.
Yeah, okay. True. I was going to say Kevin Steen or Kevin Owens or whatever you want to call him by. That was a big deal this past week as he resigned, because his contract apparently was up in January with WWE. Everyone's hoping he was going someplace else. Unfortunately, he did. Well, no, I think fortunately for him, because he, like he said, after he signed the contract, that he had to do what's good for his family. And, you know, and I guess what they offered him in WWE to stay was more than AEW would have offered him to go. Because I believe that he was allowed to negotiate. So,
yeah, I mean, obviously with that, like the contract tampering, you can't really get into much. So who knows, like, if there really was a discussion on that. But I mean, the rumors out there is that he is getting absolutely paid by WWE. The question is, are they going to actually honor this contract through the end of January of 2025? Or is he going to get cut at some point like everybody else by that damn company? But it's just weird to me, like thinking about years ago, I remember his farewell show at TCW in Watertown, and that how happy everybody was, myself included, that this guy made it. He got signed by WWE, and how cool that was. Cause it was something that honestly, I know I never expected to happen. And now here we are 7.5 years later or whatever, and it's crazy to be disappointed that he's re-signing with WWE under a major contract. I'm happy that he's getting paid and all that stuff, and it's kind of like one of the few excuses left to tune in once in a while, maybe.
Well, especially Monday night.
So much stuff he could do in AEW with that. Like, I really wanted to see Mount Rushmore back together. I wanted to see Kevin Steen in the Owen Hart Cup. I want, like, there was the stuff with him and Adam Cole again. Like, I'm bummed by that. I really am. That way, he was like, of all these people, if you put in, honestly, if you include Cole and Punk and Ruby and Steen and O'Reilly and Fish, and like, he's the one guy I wanted AEW to get. But oh well.
Well, they'll have to wait.
Like, what is there to look forward to with him in WWE right now?
Well, have you been watching? No, I mean, I watch Monday night every night. I have to. And he was the best thing this past Monday night because, one, they made Bobby Lashley have to beat three other people before he was going to be added to the main event of day one. It's a four-way now. But the thing with Kevin Owens is he tapped before the hold got put on him. He started to go into the lock. What's he called again? The Hurt Lock. He's about to get put into it, and as the second arm's coming around, he starts tapping, and I laughed my head off because it's like it was a heel move, and he didn't have anything to lose by losing because it's just going to put Bobby Lashley in the main event match of the next pay per view. But he also came out and tried to get Bobby Lashley disqualified by interfering with Seth Rollins' match with him, and then they call it disqualification until the powers that be came out and said no, and now it's no disqualification. So he was instrumental in pretty much everything that went on Monday night, and he has been since we felt he was going to be leaving, because it seemed like it was his swan song, and all of a sudden he's been inserted into like the main event to what's going on. But I think it's a good thing. I don't have a problem with that at all. He's one of the highlights and the bright spots of Monday Night Raw. He has been, you know me, because I like heels. But he was great. I remember the interview you had with him before he left 2CW that you brought back, and we had to like beep about 45,000 times in it because which is fine.
That was a couple years earlier. That was he left in the summer of 2014. Him and Jason Axe dropped the tag titles to the Dudleys in Watertown, but I think that was probably 2 years earlier, the outdoor show in Watertown that we recorded that one.
Yeah.
He might have been the heavyweight champion at that point. But I think that's actually when he had like the 2CW belt, the PWG belt, maybe the ROH belt. Yeah, he was quite the belt collector at that point.
Yeah. And it was a fun interview because he's a smart man, and we lost DC there for a second. Oh, no, now he's back. He's a smart man, and I think that he was super, you know, and I'm happy for him, whatever he does. He's been like one of the highlights of whatever. I've always been behind him, and I never buy him as a face, so he's always going to be a heel. So, but he did sign a 3-year extension. He said it's because it's for his family. You know, and the thing is, as much as, and I think he has a no-cut clause, or they were talking about that when it signed, but I can't imagine they would give him a no-cut clause. Because that's why Braun Strowman or Adam Shearer, whatever his name is, that's why he's free now, because he was making $1 million a year. And WWE said, you know what, we're going to wait to WrestleMania and then we're going to cut him because he was making way too much money for what he was, you know, bringing in. And it was worth it to sign him to get through that pay-per-view. And then it was like, okay, now we're going to get rid of him. And that's kind of what they do with these big contracts for some people. Some people who are limited in what they can do in the wrestling, you know, in the ring and with character wise and stuff like that. But Kevin Owens is, you know, he's like a 5-tool player when it comes to wrestling. He's great in the mic. He's got great psychology in the ring, and, you know, so he's definitely well worth the money he's getting, without a doubt. And I'm happy for him. I know I'd love to see him in AEW. Are you kidding me? I'm happy he'll be at least be something that I like to watch on Monday Night Raw or whatever he is with WWE, because if they keep getting rid of everybody, I'm not going to know anybody. So anyone have thoughts, more thoughts on Kevin Owens? You know, I mean, as you know, and it's as a wrestler and in style. I mean, yes, he's definitely worth whatever they paid him. So.
Yeah. As a wrestling fan, I'm disappointed because again, I don't know what he could possibly do in WWE right now. Whereas like Artis laid out, there are so many possibilities if he were to go to AEW.
I think maybe he's seeing what we're seeing sometimes with AEW is like how they're signing a lot of people and it's kind of making the pool deeper, you know? Maybe that's what he saw when it came to it, because he is definitely one of the veterans left in WWE. But
look at how many people WWE has cut and they still can't properly utilize the people they have.
True.
I'd much rather go to a place that is going to put me on a platform where I can actually apply my trade.
You got to remember he's one of the guys who said he's not doing this forever. He had his good years. I saw it likened to Shinsuke Nakamura. He had his artistic years. He had his great matches. Now he's making his money. And if you're going to pay me in the top six people on your company to sit there and work four nights a week, I'm all for it. He's got two to three million reasons why he re-signed that contract. So even if he only works two of those years, that's between $4 and $6 million, and he can go home and sit. He doesn't have to hurt himself anymore.
Yeah, you make a lot of sense there. And yeah, I don't know if you saw the matches he was in this past Monday, but one where he did like basically Mick Foley's clothesline off the ring apron onto the person standing up, but he didn't do the clothesline. He just landed outside. In an interview he had done this week, it said it was probably the most painful spot he had done in a very long time, and it was. I could understand. I had to go back and watch it because it's like, oh, yeah. You know, I mean, you know what? It just shows, you know, and that's before we ever heard that he re-signed. So maybe he re-signed. He's like, I'm going to go do something crazy. Yeah, you know, but he's definitely a quality guy. And kudos to him, unfortunately, he's stuck in the creative of WWE. But I think he has a lot of say in what goes on with him because, I mean, he's, you know, do you ever really think about some of the storylines he's been in? He's really not that out of character in anything we see that, you know, the bad Kevin Owens character we've grown to know.
Well, he's got to have some leeway because you could tell the last like 4 months when he was doing something stupid on TV and he knew it was stupid. You could tell he knew it was stupid and you could see it all in his body language, and he hasn't been punished for that. So,
yeah. Makes a lot of sense. So he's, kudos to him. And who knows, maybe he doesn't have a no cut. And then after a certain point, they'll just cut him and then he'll be free to go someplace else. But, you know, the wrestling world has gotten smaller with Ring of Honor, you know, not being around for people to possibly go to between companies and whatnot. So let's go back to finish up our final battle thoughts. We already finished that up. I'm going to say, but I think KO, staying, you know, he's one guy I think that probably, you know, definitely benefited from his time in Ring of Honor. That's why we went to him, I think, because someone had mentioned it in the chat room and we went to him. But I think I remember that's, you know, him and Cesaro, Sami Zayn, when Sami was, you know, under a mask there, and some of those matches towards the end with those guys were, you know, go back and watch your Ring of Honor stuff. You cannot miss it. So some other things we want to talk about. So one thing that did kind of, I want to go back a little bit for a second to Winter is Coming and MJF. MJF and, you know, and Punk are setting up something big coming up eventually. And is it now cool for guys in AEW to like rip on bad characters from the WWE when they're putting somebody down? You know, MJF called somebody a Ryback, I believe.
I mean, that's probably the worst insult you could throw at somebody. Let's be honest. Nobody wants to be a Ryback.
Well, Ryback, you might remember, is responsible, I think, for hurting Punk at one time during his career.
He's responsible for hurting a lot of people.
And
he's the male Nia Jax.
True. And the interesting thing is, I think he's so insignificant to mention. It's like, that's why I wonder, is that the cool thing to do now, is to bring out WWE names when you're like freaking taking shots at each other during promos now?
It's the cheap heat. It's the enter your town here type thing. Your local sports team here. It's you throw in some bad WWE creative names and you're good to go.
Dante just sent a message. He goes, I have a feeling that there will be an MJF parents and CM Punk angle or spot somewhere in this feud. And it's like, I don't know if you follow MJF on Twitter, but his parents bring bad signs every time they're around. He's around New York or whatever. They bring these signs.
What was the most recent one? Like, stop being an a-hole for 10 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's hilarious. And it's like, you know, but I don't know if it's that those mentions have ever made TV yet. I don't think they have. I've seen them on Twitter and what, you know, some of the wrestling sites online. But so MJF, going back to him, he like called someone a Rye. He called he brought Ryback when he was like, you know, cutting a promo on Punk, and he's also, you know, I mean, he comes out immediately, you know, badmouths the town they're in as well, which we got, of course, gets the cheap heat as well. There's a lot of cheap heat going on with MJF. You know, because the people are behind him, you would think maybe in places, you know, in Texas or something like that. But I've noticed that a trend that's been twice now that's happened, you know, in this matchup, you know, with these two guys. They've been using, you know, WWE guys as a, and I'm sure, I think maybe it was a test to maybe see if Edge comes out and talks about them again. You know?
Apparently there was, there were CM Punk chants during SmackDown tonight.
Oh yeah,
seeing a lot of tweets about that. So during the Happy Corbin segment, and then apparently Pat McAfee said, "Oh, they're chanting 'We want love,'" which I don't. We're not
talking about someone
up.
Getting paid.
Pat McAfee is something. You know, I'll just give him that. Well, right now, I mean, right now, if you're watching SmackDown right now, you're getting a match between the Usos and Kofi Kingston and the King, Xavier.
We've never seen this one before.
No, not 14 or 15 times already. You know,
that's on the low, very, very low side.
I know. Maybe in the last month, 14 or 15 times, but. You know, and by the way, they're coming to Rochester. If you're on from Rochester and you're on with us right now, they're going to be in Rochester February 27th. And you know, the thing about the show is it's going to be both brands here in Rochester. Oh well, I'm just throwing that out there. It's going to be the mixed brand show, but they, you know, I mean, I'm just glad they're coming back to this town, because I didn't think we'd see them for a while, and we haven't seen them in a couple of years. You know, you think about this now. I mean, this pandemic and touring and everything, it's kind of like, you know, I mean, and I'm sure you guys saw, maybe you didn't, but on Twitter, the empty arena shots from last Monday night. Did you guys see that? Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what happens when you try to fill a 20,000 seat arena with 5,000 people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, absolutely completely empty on one side. People used to get mad about that stuff getting out there, but now, I mean, what are they going to do? They're trying to do when they come to Rochester, it probably will be pretty full because it's such a small arena, you know? But we are eventually going to get, tonight on SmackDown right now, the big limo just came down to Paul Heyman. He's holding the belt in his hand right now. And I'm guessing, look at that. Roman Reigns came out of the other side of the car. Heyman's on the wrong side of the car. Sorry, shouldn't laugh at that. But he's like going to open the door, and the door on the other side is opening up. So it's pretty funny. It looks like they didn't have much room, or maybe they didn't have time to do a retake on that before they put it on TV. But yes, see, it just shows you we're watching it live there. So I'll get done with MJF because I don't want to talk. I don't want to beat that up because I just think that I just hope that that they're not getting to trying to get this cheap heat every time they're cutting a promo on something. Where's WWE tonight, by the way? Where's SmackDown coming from?
I don't know.
Yeah. Usually it tells you on the information when you click it, but I'm not sure where they are. But I'm just wondering why they get a CM Punk chant. Maybe they're in Chicago. I don't know.
It's a possibility. They were in Minnesota on Monday. So.
Oh, yeah.
Same part of the country?
Yeah, it could be. So I've been like kind of watching this as we're on the air going along, and it's like
Rosemont, Illinois.
Rosemont, Illinois?
Yeah.
Oh, there, right there, right out of Chicago. We got Simon joining us. Good to see you guys are on at a time which I can watch the broadcast live, especially seeing as I live in Sydney. All right. Very cool. Well, congratulations. Thanks for coming on, Simon. You have any questions or comments?
We're just kinda... That's your cue to try an Australian accent.
Put a shrimp on a Barbie? No, I can't do it. Sorry.
What the heck was that?
What was that?
I'm sorry.
Oh, that was that Irishman who was going to...
And look, he ran away. Now you made him leave. No, I can't. No.
Oh, what was that?
I'm trying to think. That's not a knife. This is a knife. No, I can't do it.
That's better.
Okay.
Irishman down under.
Sorry. They're going to think all we think of is Crocodile Dundee when we're
crikey.
Like, crikey. Yeah, I could do that too. So...
It's almost like Cash was responsible for the casting of, the original Highlander.
Oh.
It's like, hey, we got a Scottish guy. Is he going to play the Scotsman? No, let's make him Spanish.
Well, it's like what's his name? Sean Connery playing a Russian what was it? Red
Hunt for Red October.
Yeah,
Hunt for Red October.
Yeah, he got the guy with the thickest Scottish accent playing a Russian commander of a sub. Okay, yeah. Okay, so I'm terrible. You know what? I don't get paid to do this. Okay, I just want to let you folks know who are in the chat room. I don't get paid to do this. I did want to mention though, we're talking about Kevin Owens getting the contract extension. Sami Zayn apparently has re-signed as well. Best friends. I'm beginning to believe maybe they are to this day still. Maybe they want to stay together. Sami Zayn supposedly, nothing's been confirmed yet, but there's a lot of rumors going around that he just signed a 3-year or another 3-year deal. So, and his is supposed to expire before the end of this year. So, good, you know, pretty close to it. I don't know. Sami Zayn, I love what Sami Zayn's doing though, even though we never see him wrestle because he's like in a wheelchair. Or, you know, got a boot on his leg or and
When's
stuff.
When's his movie going to debut?
Has he got a movie?
He's got the conspiracy theory movie.
Oh, yeah. That's right. The video guy. The guys have been following him for like 3 years now.
Yeah.
It's a good question. Was that Lucky the Leprechaun's take on an Aussie accent? Sorry. It was. Sorry.
It's the Leprechaun.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I'm the leprechaun.
Thank you, Simon, for staying, even though my terrible. Hey, I'm not, like I said, I'm not an
Someone's
actor.
Got a flashlight.
I'm the leprechaun.
No, man, don't do it, man.
Do it. I'm the leprechaun.
Okay, so.
Now we're dating ourselves with Wayne's World references.
So next Friday, we're getting Charlotte.
Wayne's World is timeless.
We're getting Charlotte and Toni Storm next Friday on SmackDown. A little preview. The next Friday will be Christmas Eve.
I believe they're taped.
Oh, I'm guessing, yeah, because they usually give the.
They originally wanted to run it live, and I think they got talked out of it.
Didn't they run a live show on Christmas?
What's that?
No, they're taping next week's SmackDown tonight.
Yeah.
And the Sabres just lost in overtime.
Didn't they run a Christmas a couple years ago recently?
They did.
I mean, back in the day, Christmas used to be a big drawing house. Christmas and Thanksgiving Day were the two biggest days.
Oops. No, it did. I mean, that's usually the time when they were doing the tours that we would get them in Rochester too. It would be around the week between Christmas and New Year's, and they're going
to
be
Buffalo.
Yeah, I know. And you guys want to go? Anyone want to go? Because I got off that whole week. I'm thinking about going just to go. Well, I mean, Danny, are you going to be in town then?
Maybe.
Well, let's go up and just have fun and go watch a show, you know, and just, you know, it's tentative, you know. I guess we'd have to record our show before.
I feel like I'd rather put that $20 towards like meeting up with you guys and getting chicken wings or something.
Oh, I would love to do
that's
that.
Not getting you many, very many chicken wings anymore, let me tell you.
Yeah.
No, but I'd enjoy it more than the WWE show.
True. But, you know, I was thinking just because I got the time off, I was going to run to Buffalo. Because I went to Buffalo last weekend for the Sabres-Capitals game. And, I mean, in fact, most of us were in Buffalo. Rob was in Buffalo. And Danger, you weren't, but you were – you were in a Eskimo tent in the Christmas Village or something. I don't remember what was going on. But Rob, let's talk a little bit about that ESW show last weekend. Why not? Well, we got a few minutes. ESW, it was a show. It was a wrestling show and then a concert after that with and I saw that a certain guitarist from a band was with his tag partners in the ring during that wrestling show. So can you just give a little recap of what went on?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't count officially as an ESW show. It was kind of like ESW's ring and all of that. But just basically the day two of that whole annual Every Time I Die Christmas show. It starts with a five match wrestling card that afternoon. And that will be available to watch on IWTV some point this coming week that I am on commentary for. Main event was The Blade with the Bunny against an extra evil Uno. And then evil. The butcher came out during the match and may have helped kind of stop some shenanigans and help the hometown boy pick up the win. But it was fun. I'm trying to think. Ricky Shane Page looked really, really good. It was like the best RSP match I've seen. I don't know. Matt Cross was on the show. It's one of those weird shows because it's like that crowd is not a wrestling crowd. It's a crowd that's there for the music. And as these annual shows have gone on, like now that Andy has made his way from not just being in the band, but being in AEW, a lot of these people have started to watch wrestling, or at least AEW. So a lot of these people are now like a lot more aware of what's going on, a lot more into it. But it's even cool just to see the people that clearly don't ever watch wrestling that were really enjoying the show, and Santa Puff and, you know, some of the other guys that were on the show and stuff. So that was fun. Again, that'll be up on IWTV, I think like a week from tonight or something. But
so it was like an afternoon. It was an afternoon card, and then it went in right up to the bands playing.
Yeah, so for that day two, they opened doors at 1. The wrestling was from 2 to 4, and then they had a half hour to quickly get the ring out of there before the first band started at 4:30, and then the music went till like a little after midnight that night. So, and Orange Cassidy was not on the show this year, as opposed to last time when he was there and got. He was supposed to get thrown by Andy into the crowd, but he didn't make it all the way.
Oh, no.
He kind of fell in that little pit where security is. But he survived that. But, yeah, it was a good time. And got to talk with Uno a bit after that, too, which is good. Because somehow, like, I didn't really see him at the 2CW shows, which is really strange. But I was super busy those days.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, you were doing a whole card then. It wasn't five matches or whatever. It was, yeah, you had 2 days too, right, of matches. So,
yeah, there were, I mean, all those last minute changes and doing all the change on graphics and social media and all that kind of stuff. It was pretty busy for those. But, no, this was a good time. So, always fun. I don't know. I mean, there's been some really good matches there over the years on these random afternoon of a music festival thing, but that was probably the last one. So, is what it is.
Well, that's cool. And it was fun that you got to do the announcing and everything. So that was pretty cool. And
the, whoever was ringing the bell, which a friend of mine, the bell might have gotten messed up in match number 1.
Was Hacksaw there to point out the ringing the bell?
No. yeah, no, but that, yeah, I'm only,
who's that bell ringer?
I'm only taking like 5 to 10% of the blame.
Okay. Fine.
So it was a very confusing situation, but like the crowd, it's a standing crowd around the ring, and we're back by the, like the soundboard, but not elevated at all in Riverworks. So I couldn't see anything below the bottom rope. at all. And there was like a hot tag and a move and a pinfall, and the crowd counts to three. And I see the referee put his arm up, and then I hear the music start to play, and somebody says, ring the bell. I don't know who it was, but yeah, it was only a two count. So,
oh no,
sorry about that. But they covered it up. It kind of worked out even better in the end.
I saw you posted a picture, or you sent a picture to us of where you were situated. And it's like, if anything, the way that river works is set up, it probably would have been not too bad to be maybe above in the balcony or something, you know, calling the action.
I mean, even last time when we called it, we were up on like the little bit of elevated area there by like the back bar. But I don't know. I mean, that's like, Beyond Wrestling does some of the like standing room shows. GCW's had some stuff where it should not be a thing for wrestling. I understand it's like similar to a concert and there's like that feel or whatever, but if you can't see the canvas, if you can't see the mat, what percentage of a wrestling match is that? Like somebody's, it's like sitting in the fifth row on the floor at a WWE show and the people in the front row who have no need to stand
are standing,
the whole show. And then you can't see anything.
Or so. They got signs too, so you can't see past them either as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's tough. It puts you in a bad situation because it's like, I think about that place. I called roller derby once there from the balcony way up. And it was so much easier because I could see everything except for where the poles were in the middle, of the track. But because they have a built in track there for roller derby, which is pretty cool, you know, built into the ground, you know, with marble. So, or it looks marble. I don't know what it is. But yeah, no, I love that place because that's where I've seen Ring of Honor. NXT, you know, has come there a couple times. I've seen NXT there. So it's a nice little place in Buffalo.
ESW ran outdoors in August this year and then indoors in October, and then they'll be back, I think it's like May, they'll be back at Riverworks again. So it's a cool spot for a wrestling show for sure. So
but you know, the world is just kind of starting up again, so we haven't seen a lot anywhere, so just seeing that there is probably great, you know, encouraging. You know,
I will say one of the disappointing parts compared to previous years is the so for the wrestling, we use like the hockey locker rooms there.
I've been in those before. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's one power outlet for the whole room. And stuff. Yeah. So unfortunately, like they spice things up clearly at Riverworks a little bit, where now there are some like green rooms, dressing rooms upstairs on the opposite side, which meant that unless you like really walked back, like, around the corner from the catering or whatever, I did not get to meet Ice-T.
That's right. Ice-T was there. Yeah.
Yeah. I got to see Ice-T open for Every Time I Die, which is the most random. He's probably the last artist to ever open for them. That's crazy. But yeah.
Did he do Cop Killer?
No.
Oh, okay. That's the only song really know besides, you know, there's a couple songs, but that's, I remember it was a heavy metal band, his heavy metal band that did the Cop Killer. Yeah. So.
Yeah, no, he did a full rap set. I kind of thought that maybe he would do some of the metal stuff or whatever, but he was quite entertaining. So
he had to get back on the set for CSI something or another. So isn't he he's an actor, right? He still does acting.
Well, he was on SVU.
That's what it was.
Yeah. Coco was on stage as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
So,
anyway.
I like Coco Puffs. I mean, no. Sorry. I went there. Sorry about that, folks. No, she's a beautiful woman. So it's like, yeah, definitely. So, wow. Thanks for giving us a little update. I mean, I was kind of following along because there was like, you know, people were on Twitter posting stuff. And I was like in a 20,000 seat hockey arena with about 5,000 people there watching the Capitals and the Sabres play. And it's amazing.
I know a couple of people that were over at the game. Well, I think they were home Friday too.
They were.
And yeah. Some people left that game early to come over to the concert. We'll tell one other really quick, funny note from that day, is after the show, after the wrestling, we're back in the locker room and all of a sudden, the bunny, starts like, kind of frantically looking. I'm like, what's going on? It's like, I can't find my gear. I'm like, what? She accidentally threw her gear bag in the trash. I don't know how that happened, but sometimes it's not something I would ever do, but So I don't know if she's got to get new gear or if that was okay, but that was a little different. So.
Interesting. Hopefully she was able to find it. It's interesting. Heyman is hugging Roman Reigns in the middle of the ring. I don't know what's going on right now. I can't hear it. Apparently he dropped the bombshell. That's what someone just wrote. Oh, he just got taken out too. Uh-oh. Maybe Heyman is now going back to Brock Lesnar. I don't know. He just got, he's laying on the ground and the Usos are like, look like they're going to like kill him.
Was the important question in the chat addressed yet? About the new superstar in AEW who debuted a week ago.
He was finally sent.
He was sent.
He was sent and he delivered.
Oh. You mean Taz's son?
Hook. I'm talking about Hook.
Yeah, Hook.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about Hook last week and we haven't seen him since last week though. I mean, he wasn't on this week. It was, good
superstar of his caliber, you have to use sparingly.
He's an attraction.
Uh-oh.
I mean, we had to wait a year for him to have a match, so he didn't even say a word.
Lesnar is coming out to save Paul Heyman in his overalls from getting beat up. He's about to get concertoed by Roman Reigns. Wow. This is a good ending to a SmackDown, at least. I mean, we're close to it. We got a few more minutes.
Well, I know how far back my streaming option is.
Oh, sorry. Danger. Sorry.
Spoilers, Cash.
Well, I'm watching it live, but look at it. He's got the overalls on, and he's going to come down. Oh, he's beating everybody up now. Oh. So, I just can't hear what he said, but the best thing about this is that Lesnar
told Roman Reigns he was going to send Hook. And Roman Reigns.
Yeah, no, we haven't addressed Hook yet.
The Hook thing was a joke, right? Yeah. For all those months where it's like, why is Taz's son in the group? Why is he walking out there? He doesn't do anything. He doesn't say anything, whatever. And then he killed it in his debut.
No, yeah,
like,
yeah. I'll give him credit.
Like, the crowd was like jokingly behind him all this time, but then he went out there and like he did really well. So, and he's like the most jacked kid on the roster. Like, there's definitely potential there. So I didn't know what to expect, but it just makes me think like, I'd love to see like Hook and Daniel Garcia and some of these other options. So
Rennie just told
by the hair too, maybe a little of Super Saiyan mixed in there.
Super. Yeah. He's got he's got the crazy hair going on. It's good to have hair. So
the best part about it was his facials. You don't see people that young with facials, and he has the facials for the character he's playing. He's got that snarky attitude and that I don't care type thing. And it came off great.
Yeah.
Was it the greatest wrestling match you're ever going to see? No. Was it a great debut by someone that no one expected anything out of? Yeah.
Yep.
So hold on. Let me give you an update. What's going on? Lesnar's killing everybody in the ring right now. He just destroyed Roman Reigns. Apparently, I didn't see this.
This does not count as me watching WWE.
So Rennie just let me know. Rennie just let me know that Heyman was fired by Roman Reigns, and then that's when he took him out. So, and now you know what? We're getting the SmackDown credits right now in the bottom corner, which means it's time to turn it to Rampage.
Oh, no, you're going to be ahead of me for Rampage. I don't want this.
Oh, no.
I have to go watch it.
Well, we've got Rampage, but, you know.
Yeah, I will also.
Why the hell is Sylvester Stallone on Rampage?
Well, because we got to finish up the movie that's on that channel. Creed 2 is ending.
Okay.
So we can do a live talk through on Creed 2. Let's talk about some other news. Wyndham Rotunda, you might have meant, you know the name. Maybe you don't. Formerly known as Bray Wyatt. We talked a couple weeks ago. He's in a movie. He's going to be acting in a movie. And so reportedly he's taking some time away from pro wrestling while he's doing this movie. And that's why we haven't seen him yet in AEW or Impact. And there's continued talks that the Rotunda, the WWE wants him back. So he's in negotiations with WWE as well. But he wants some time. Apparently, he was making so much money. That's another reason. Remember I told you a little while ago why Braun Strowman got cut, because he was making $1 million a year and they wanted to use him for a big pay-per-view to draw people to WrestleMania. And then they cut him right after that. Same thing with Rotunda. I think that, even though I'm still trying to figure out what was going on with his WrestleMania match last year, because remember that was where he came out and that's where Alexa Bliss went heel. And
she came out of that box like structure.
Yeah, whatever that thing was next to the ring is a super high,
also known as a box.
Yeah, a box. She came out of the box. It was Alexa
in a box.
It was Alexa in the box. It was Alexa in a box. So and then, but remember, we had seen, and I know we talked about it like last week or the week before about how he had like all this gear that they made that, you know, with like Brody Lee stuff on it to, you know, to commemorate him that he never really got a chance to wear. And so he's taking some time off after making this movie, but WWE wants him back. So it's like, I wouldn't doubt that they'd probably sign him back and he'd come back out as whatever incarnation they want of him. It could be Bray Wyatt. It could be,
How the hell could you go back to them?
I don't know.
Like, honestly, they you're the most creative guy they've had in years. They cut you and then essentially give your intellectual property to someone else to carry and botch for way too long.
Yeah. I mean,
like, I don't know if he goes back, I don't know.
And now remember, Alexa Bliss kind of got pulled into that angle with Braun Strowman because Braun Strowman, remember that when he was in the swamp and then she appeared to him as like, I don't know. I'm still confused on everything that was going on during that. But so Rampage has now started. Okay, I'm not going to give any spoilers if the artiste is watching, but everybody else probably turned it over to watch as well. We got the Young Bucks coming out first. So I want to throw that
spoiler
out there. Sorry, I want to throw that out there as well as mention that it was Brody Lee, would have been Brody Lee's 42nd birthday this past week, and his wife Amanda wrote this wonderful documented story of how things happened in the past year to where we lost Brody Lee, which I believe is the day after Christmas, you know, after reading about it. But it was much like if you got a chance to watch the AEW podcast that she was on, it was pretty much that same story, but maybe a little bit more, you know. It was it was probably pages and pages of type, but it was well worth reading and it was really touching. And we did post it on our Facebook page as well. So you could definitely read what she wrote. But what'd you guys think about that? I mean, it was very sad, you know, as much as people were sending it around, a bunch of people I know that don't watch wrestling sent it to me and said, and I wrote them back and said, you know, as much as that's great, it still was really sad by the time I got to the end of it. So it was, you know, what'd you guys think about that?
It was a tough read, but it was a tough read for all of the right reasons. And I can't imagine what, you know, all the rest of you guys here on the show were thinking reading that, because, you know, talking degrees of separation amongst the four of us, I am the most removed. And, you know, I felt things reading that. So it was, I mean, kudos to her for being able to put all of that out there.
What'd you think, Rob?
I mean, it was one of those things where, it wasn't really new stuff to me, but it obviously hit home a lot. I think she did an incredible job with it. I think it's absolutely, totally worth anybody reading, whether they're a wrestling fan or not. To me, it was just, and I'm sure this is the case for a lot of other people, but just reading that, like, brought back a lot of memories for me. My memory's not that great, but I mean, just thinking about like the nights in high school going bowling with these people that are mentioned and stuff, and the RCW stuff and like everything, like it was a trip down memory lane for a lot of it. And, you know, obviously it progresses and it's, I thought overall it was pretty easy to read until it got toward the end.
Yeah.
And then that was tough. I think it's just, I don't know, especially this month, like there's a lot more popping up. Like, you know, she put that out on their anniversary and then his birthday was yesterday and the next Sunday will be the anniversary and stuff. And it's just, there's a lot that's hitting home more right now. But, I think it's a credit to see like his birthday yesterday and how many people, you know, AEW putting up all sorts of posts and Jericho and all these other people, you know, tweeting pictures and stuff. Like, he really, it's quite a damn legacy for the amount that he's talked about by this many people and stuff constantly. So
WWE even had some stuff up yesterday too. So
yeah. And I mean, the anything, almost anything I've ever read on the Players Tribune is worth reading. Like the stuff on there is so good. Even like Danielson's piece about like leaving WWE and coming to AEW and stuff, like anything that goes up on there, you pretty much know it's going to be a good read. And this was absolutely a solid, thorough read.
You know, it's funny as you, I was reading it, there's some things I remembered. Like for instance, like, I mean, Amanda talked about their whole relationship and how it started and everything. And I remember, when he told me that she was pregnant, and it was like, because I had gotten him some tickets to go see the women, believe it or not, the women's, national soccer team was playing in Rochester, and I had some tickets that I didn't need them, and so I offered them up to anybody, and he came over to my house, and he was telling me about leaving his job and Amanda being pregnant, and he was very excited about so much stuff. And I remember it was kind of like in the middle of that whole story when you know little things popped out in my mind with like interactions with him during some, and like you said, with the bowling and stuff. So there's like, you know, and it kind of got my mind going too, thinking about, you know, it's like, and it was sad. And it's like, people apologize. You don't got to apologize to me. It's sad, but it's like, you know, Danger, what'd you think?
I mean, you guys are putting it pretty well. It's one of those things that makes you, first off, Amanda is stronger than I think I could ever be. The way she has handled everything from day one, and still being able to come out and talk about it to this day, I don't know how she does it. And raising the boys and everything still, kudos to her. Kudos to her. Yeah. She is stronger than I am. But yeah, reading it brings back memories, and you know, it does get sad in there, and it's been almost a year, and it's not any easier than when I got the first text about the tweets that came out. So it's a good read. I suggest if you haven't read it, you go read it. And if you know someone who hasn't read it, have them read it, because it's, you know, John Huber was more than a pro wrestler. And I think everybody here knows that, you know, from talking with him or meeting him, and his legacy needs to be shared. And I'm glad that he touched so many people that it's still almost a year later, something that everybody is recognizing how great a person he was.
Yeah. And there's a part that really, I think, got me a little weepy when I was at work reading it, is the part when she was talking to Brody about, you know, towards the end of his life and having, you know, and that, you know, and Brode's a great kid, you know, and I mean, I've seen, you know, I haven't seen him in a couple of years, but you know, they have those parties July 4th every year, or July 4th weekend. And he was always like, the center of attention for about 40 people. So it was, you know, he's such a good kid, you know, and both their kids, you know, and you're right. She's a strong woman. I give her a lot of credit. She's, you know, it's tough, and she's continuing on, and she's going to, and she does, she's making sure nobody's going to forget him. And I don't think we're going to be right with her, reminding people about this guy, about what a special person he was, you know? And so, it was a tough read. So, but you got to check it out. So we've shared it on the Facebook page, and like you said, Players Tribune is quality stuff. So I'm glad she,
I mean, there's a lot in there that just, I didn't necessarily expect some of the things that she included in there and stuff. And it just, one part, she mentions how like John didn't really want her wrestling. That's something I hadn't thought about in a long time. And like I sent her a message after I read that about how the first show that I ever booked was a show in Hamlin in November of 2008, Lakeshore Wrestling Show. And I booked John for it. And then at one point we were watching Raw, and I mentioned to him that I was going to book Amanda for the show. And have her wrestle Ferrari. They were really good friends. Ferrari was coming up because Mark Mandrake was in the main event. And so I was just like, yeah, I'm going to book Amanda for it. And his exact quote, I remember, but slightly censored for this podcast, was "Know your effing not." And I was like, okay, like I knew that, like, sometimes he was, you know, protective and stuff and didn't necessarily want to around all the shows and stuff, but she did not get booked for that show. But she reminded me this week, which I had forgotten about, that she did still come to the show to hang out, and apparently he was heated about that too. So
wow.
But that kind of stuff, obviously, you know, like, she goes into how he dealt with, you know, like losing his dad and stuff, and that was unfortunately something that he and I ended up in common with and talking about a lot a few years ago and stuff. And so I just think there's so much to it that, like, if you think you've seen everything or read everything, whatever, like, I guarantee most people reading this, you're going to learn even more than you think, you know. And there's a lot of, you know, Rochester specific stuff, whatever. I just think it's totally worth it. So,
yeah.
And the details are just awesome. So
definitely.
And there is stuff in there. I, you know, like I said, you know, of the four of us here, I'm the least familiar with them. And there was stuff in there that, you know, I didn't know at all. And you know, not to like try to make it about me and like take things like way too seriously. But for me, like, one of the big things I took away was, you know, Artiste, you were just alluding to it, like him losing his father, you know, that's something you've dealt with recently. That's something I've had to deal with myself. And, you know, not to be too real, but me personally, I've recently sought out therapy and counseling, and to, you know, see something in that article about, you know, here's this, you know, 6'6", 275-pound guy, professional wrestler, and he seeks out therapy and counseling. So I'm like, okay, so it's something that a lot of people do. So yeah. Like, you know, seeing the help he reached out for, and then seeing the help she's reaching out for, you know, so I found some of that stuff really reassuring to me personally.
For sure. I think he's just, you know, like, maybe for some fans that didn't really know him or something, you think of him as just a wrestler, a wrestling superstar, whatever, but he's one of the most relatable people out there or whatever. I mean, 96% of the conversations he and I would have were about hockey. They weren't about wrestling. We didn't talk about wrestling that much, but you know, I just think that there's a lot of good in that. I just wanted a quick side note that I totally agree with what you're saying about the therapy and all of that stuff. And that can be a big deal. Like, all these types of things where people do have an influence on fans or whatever the case. Back in 2013 or so, I was listening to a Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast, and he, similar to many of the hockey players I was interviewing at the time, he put over how great a pedicure was. And I was like, I'm never getting one of those, whatever. And Stone Cold gets one. Okay, fine. I can get one. Been hooked ever since. So don't knock it till you try it.
All right.
Hold on. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this.
What are you doing?
Here comes a video. Oh, look at that. Wow. Folks, you're missing something special. If you're not watching the video. Wow, look at that.
With painted nails.
Nobody wants.
I don't get the paint, but some people probably would have paid extra for that. There, you just gave.
I work from home. I live in North Carolina. It's me and my wife. I'm married. I have nobody to impress.
Somewhere, Rex Ryan is just focusing in on Danny's.
Wow. There's going to be a screenshot of the show, and it's going to be his wallpaper for quite some time.
Side note, really quick about Rex Ryan. Did anyone hear him say this week that he was a toe expert about Aaron Rodgers when he was on the air, and the entire rest of the cast of his show walked off set laughing?
Oh my. No. Yeah. I don't, it's too much information there, Rex. Okay. Yeah, no. I will, it's interesting that in that part of the story where Amanda talks about John actually getting, talking to a professional about his father, kind of helped him straighten out things in his life that, and from then on, him and Amanda were inseparable. So I think that's, you know, and I, you know, I mean, I lost my father like 25 years ago. So it's, I don't know if it was nearly as, I don't know if it was nearly, I mean, I don't, I, you know, as devastating. It still is if you think about it to this day, when you lose someone that important in your life. But, you know, he, It's just great. You got to go back and read it, and you will learn a lot of things about him. I was going to say, we played most of the time whenever we played softball, he and I talked about MMA all the time. That's, you know, that, and I was like always asking him about what he's doing in Ring of Honor too, because that's, we played softball like every Sunday night for a few years, and he was working Ring of Honor, coming back and playing softball with us after the weekend shows down in Philly. And, you know, I mean, this is back when they were doing, or, you know, even doing the, what was it, the triad, it wasn't Ring of Honor, it was another group, CZW, I think, or one of them that did like the, or no, what was the other
was
group?
Was it Jersey All-Pro?
No, what was the other group in Philly that, besides Ring of Honor, I mean, that's where Ring of Honor was based, but he would go down there. They do the
Chikara.
They do the, he'd come back and talk about Chikara and stuff, where, you know, and he'd go down with like, the Olsen twins, and they would be a threesome, and they would have that match.
I was on a lot of those ridiculous car rides. Some good times, some good memories.
Well, again, you know,
I think the other thing that if people don't really know from that story too, is like the specifics, just of like the irony and like, I don't know, like, I'm not usually big on this, but then it seems like there's more and more proof on different things, like the whole like everything happens for a reason thing or whatever. When you look at that timeline that she lays out in that story about like him losing his job and the injury and the offer from WWE and then Brody being born and stuff, like it's very interesting how it all works out in the time frame and how she had to like wait to tell him that she was pregnant because of everything else that's going on. Like, that alone makes it worth reading, just to see that side of it.
So definitely check that out. Right now we've got the big tag match going on right now. And
it's not the biggest tag match.
It's not the biggest.
It's okay. But
40-on-40 match is still to come. Yeah.
Adam Cole got kissed by Orange Cassidy in the match. So if you haven't seen it yet so far, it was pretty good. I laughed at it when I saw it, even though you were telling something very serious. So if you watch the video screen, I didn't mean to laugh, but it was like he kissed him.
That's a great match.
Yeah, it is. This is crazy. So sometime tonight during this show, we're going to get the announcement about the Owen Hart Cup event that's coming up for AEW. It made the news a little bit today, the Owen Hart Cup. Tony Khan appeared on Busted Open Radio and revealed that there'll be two tournaments of single matches for the Owen Hart Cup. There'll be a men's division Owen Hart Cup winner and a women's division Owen Hart Cup winner. The date and location for these will be revealed tonight sometime. I haven't seen it yet. They haven't posted anything, but this is the first match starting out right off the show. So, crazy move by Orange Cassidy, man. This is insane. I know you guys are delayed. I'm not going to say what it was.
About to leave.
No, I'll stop talking about it, but it's going on.
It's the worst watch along of all time.
Sorry. Okay. And I would just say that the match may have ended. The Owen Hart Cup is a big deal, I think, for AEW, because one, Owen Hart's wife wants nothing to do with the WWE, wants nothing to do with that company or Vince McMahon or any of the McMahons. But Tony Khan reached out and said, you know, the winner of each of these tournaments is going to get the Owen. That's going to be the name of the cup. What do you guys think about, I mean, obviously it's going to be start to happen more, or we're going to hear more about it more after tonight, but what do you guys, I mean, I know that Rob, you're a big fan of, Owen Hart. It was a reason you still love wrestling to this day. And, are you happy to be seeing this? Cause I'm glad this guy has been, because of his wife and because of WWE, they couldn't do anything since, you know, for years and years and years because of an agreement and whatnot. And I don't know how they're going to get footage or anything, you know, but I'm sure that maybe there is some out there someplace just to, you know, give people an eye. Cause you have to re-educate the audience too. And I think they have to re-educate them on Owen Hart too. What do you think, Rob?
I mean, they can probably get some New Japan stuff and some photos from PWI and stuff.
Calgary.
Yeah, it's going to be limited because even his WCW stuff would be owned by WWE at this point. Great. Dan Lambert's coming up. Terrific. Owen's my favorite wrestler of all time. I love that they're doing this. It's one of those things that, you know, for the longest time we thought like there would never be anything related to Owen again because it was just WWE and stuff. And it's a credit to AEW that the way they run their company, they were able to get Martha Hart to do something with wrestling. They were able to get CM Punk to come out of retirement. All these things, like, these are big, big credits to the way that they run their company, unlike other people. And I'm really looking forward to it. I didn't really expect that there would be a men's tournament and a women's tournament. And then I was like, do they both need to be the Owen? But I mean, there's not really a woman. Fortunately, there's not really been a tragedy like Owen's on the women's wrestling side of things. And, you know, certainly we're not going to name a tournament after like the Fabulous Moolah at this point or whatever. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I just was really hoping to see the cup raised up high by a winner, Kevin Steen, but we'll see what happens.
Well, I mean, there are some family members who are available still, you know, out there, which, you know, might seem logical for, you know.
I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting with that aspect of it because, you know, I've always tried to, you know, pay attention to anything related to that family. Cause I mean, I was also a big Brett fan. The only time I didn't root for Brett was when he was wrestling Owen. So the family and Martha have not really gotten along over the years as well. Obviously they became really divided around the time of Owen's funeral and all of that. And I don't know how that impacts, like, would Davey Boy Jr. come in? Would, I don't know what you could do with that. You're not going to bring Teddy Hart in. I don't know. I don't know if we'll see much on that side of things, but I don't know. I mean, I don't think Martha and Brett have really even talked or made up or something. Maybe this is what brings them together. Maybe she would be okay with Brett coming out and being part of the ceremony and stuff. I hope so, because that would be great. And obviously Brett made that appearance when he like unveiled the AEW title a couple years ago. But regardless, I don't know. I'm looking forward to the details. Did it sound like it was going to be a one-day tournament? Because I'm hoping that's the case, but
I'm not sure.
We don't have King of the Ring anymore.
Yeah.
For real.
You know, we could find out. We're going to find out tonight at some point. It hasn't happened yet. Maybe this next segment before we get Dan Lambert out here flapping his gums. but nothing yet, at least. But yeah, Danger, you have any thoughts on this? I mean, you know.
I mean, it's great that they're able to do, just like Rob said, it's great that they are able, that we're finally able to get something for the memory. I don't know where they would get footage of it. Maybe old Calgary stuff. I don't know if they sold the Stampede Library. I really have no idea. It wouldn't surprise me if they had. We know we've talked to some of the other Hart members who are lesser known to the mainstream wrestling fans that aren't necessarily the greatest of people. So who knows? I mean, it's just, I'm glad they're doing it. And I hope they go in a direction that makes it a big deal, and it should be a big deal.
Yeah, without a doubt. And DC, this is probably before your time, these guys we're talking about, but well, I mean, you're the youth here, aren't you?
Well, no. It is weird. I mean, it's been,
I'm the youth. I'm 38.
I'm the youngest one here.
We're okay. About. Okay.
And you that's not always the case. So I will take that when that is the case.
What do you think, DC?
No, and I'm one of those guys too, you know, not a knock against Brett, but Owen was the better wrestler. Yep. Owen was the better entertainer. And it's sad that Owen kind of struggled to get out of that shadow that his brother kind of cast. But in all aspects, Owen was better than Brett.
That's why Owen kicked his leg out of his leg.
Damn straight.
Brett was, I mean, holding him back. Yeah, no, that's my biggest complaint in wrestling history, probably, and we all know I have many, was Owen Hart never getting that title. So instead, Bob Backlund got it for like a couple days or whatever, which is dumb. So.
And then, yeah. They threw the towel in or whatever when Bob Backlund had the chicken
Owen
wing.
Owen convinced Helen to throw the towel in. And then so Bob Backlund was the champion, and then he dropped it to Diesel like, what, seven days later?
Yeah, it was like a week later. Yeah. It was like a week later. It might have been on a house show, and they were called house shows at the time, too. So, yeah.
In all honesty, though, like, I hope there is like a trophy similar in size to another trophy that's handed out somewhere else. And I really feel like to properly honor Owen, someone should steal it, claim to have won it, and just let it ride for months.
I did it. I'm a winner.
For the best bow tie, right? Well, you know, it's funny, is Dan Lambert's out there talking, and now Cody Rhodes looks like he's coming out.
I don't see Cody yet. I just see Dan Lambert talking.
Yeah.
You sure it's not Homelander?
Well, Cody Rhodes is the only one who comes up from the middle, okay? So and when the lights are on the middle, then it's Cody Rhodes. So, yeah.
I like the Cornette is out of touch sign, though, that I just saw.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
You know, and yeah. Well, you can certainly.
There's the entranceway now. Oh, almost time later.
Sorry. So we got some other. We're watching live as we're talking about this, and now so Cody's coming.
Apparently, not all of us are watching live. We're a minute behind.
Well, I was gonna just say, but you know, it's like Lambert. You know, obviously we're moving on to something else. They want to keep him around with Ethan Page and Scorpio there. I think that. But they're going to Cody now. So maybe, who knows, Cody, maybe they're inviting Cody to join them. I don't know. But, so we got some other news. We want to send out a congratulations. I mean, we're still actually doing the show, believe it or not. Congratulations to Diamond Dallas Page on being married, marrying his girlfriend Page, which to be honest with you, I think he's been married like 4 or 5 times now. I'm pretty sure of it. He married his girlfriend Paige last weekend in a surprise wedding, though. If you've ever been married before, and I have been, and I know Danger has, and I know that Dan has, when you have a surprise wedding, you still have to get a marriage certificate before that. And both people have to sign off on that. So how much of a surprise wedding could it really be? Okay.
It's like, I just want to go back. So is technically her name Paige?
That's it. Paige. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, poor girl. Paige, so it's Diamond Dallas
She's
and
Paige. She's
a poor
girl for many other reasons than just the fact her name is now Paige.
Diamond Dallas and Paige are married now. It was a surprise wedding. I mean, maybe she knew it was coming sometime because once, I think it's at least here, when I signed up for the marriage certificate, I had 30 days to get married after signing up for it. So I don't know. Maybe it's different down there. You know, maybe it's like, well, we're going to get married, you know, sometime in 30 days.
Offer expires after 30 days.
Yeah. So he got, but it was last weekend and he had 115 people there. So it was a Christmas theme party. This list of who's who. Oh, now Dustin's out. Uh-oh. The list of who's who. It was.
I can't do this.
Sorry.
I'm going to go watch this live.
Oh, I won't. I did look down for a while and Cody's on the ground. So I don't know, but hold on. So Rob Van Dam and his wife, Katie Forbes, were there. Mark Marrow, Harold Ice Train Hogue, Ice Train, Enzo and Cass. I didn't realize they were such good friends. Ace Austin, Eric Watts, and Court TV analyst Julie Grant, Gia Miller, and Hollywood Yates were all there. Congratulations, Diamond Dallas Page.
Eric Watts was there? That's fantastic.
Yeah, Eric Watts. You know, he was he the new Rob? You might want to come back on when you see who's there. So we got to talk about that. Whoa, insane. Sorry. I'm not going to talk about it. But the, yeah, Sami Zayn is, or I mean, Sammy Guevara is incredible. So if you're watching this live, you guys are off just by what, like a minute?
Yeah,
probably like 30 seconds or so.
Well, there's setting up something for another time, we will say. So some other news, we want to send our condolences out to the family of Jimmy Rave. That would be James Michael Goffey, I think it is. He passed away at the age of 39. We've talked, I think, about it. Jimmy Rave had some issues and had both his legs amputated recently because of, I'm not sure. I thought it was something.
MRSA.
It was MRSA. He got MRSA in the hospital.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he succumbed to all the problems he was having this past week and passed away. And there was a lot of great people sending their condolences out there. All the companies he worked for, ROH, TNA, Dragon Gate, New Japan, CZW. He even had an appearance on WWE Sunday Night. He had a lot of health issues. Just turned 39 this past week, and he passed away. But I remember Jimmy Rave when he was in Impact. and Ring of Honor. And I saw him wrestle in Ring of Honor in Buffalo at one of the Buffalo shows. They had done a series of shows at the Pepsi Arena there, and he was just an incredible wrestler. I mean, we may have had him on the show when he was in, when he was with Impact Wrestling. I think pretty sure we had him on the show. So he definitely would be missed, and just the quality of life just went really down quickly for him. And he had been living in Philadelphia. We definitely send out our best to his family and friends, and you know, can our condolences in the passing of Jimmy Rave. You know, he was, if you go back and look at some of his old wrestling matches, you know, you can live through his history, and they had some, you know, he just did some insane bumps. I remember wrestling Abyss in that Ring of Honor show where he was jumping off, he was like, I don't know, about three stories in the air and landing on Abyss during the middle of a match. So, have you guys caught up yet? No?
We're in the graphic for the 42-man tag match.
Oh, it's coming up. Yeah, I'm guessing it's coming up soon because we only have 30 minutes left of Rampage tonight. But did you see Sammy Guevara's insane bump and you know, when they were all brawling there?
The big cutter?
Yeah. That was insane off the top rope. Incredible. I wanted to scream about it, but I didn't want Rob to disappear. He's still there someplace, but, you know, maybe we ought to close up for tonight if this is the last match. The only last thing I had, I want to talk a little bit about something I saw on the Independence last weekend. There was an indie ref. His name was Landon Del Toro, who was injured in a match by wrestler Devin Nicholson, who Nicholson goes by the name Hannibal, the Blood Hunter.
Saying injured is understating what happened.
Yeah. So Saturday,
I still won't watch the video of it. I mean, at some point,
I've seen the pictures. I won't watch it. I haven't watched the video.
Yeah. Last Saturday's World Class Revolution in Irving, Texas, saw the Blood Hunter defend the Texas heavyweight title against former WWE star Carlito. Hannibal ended up attacking Del Toro and stabbing him multiple times in the head with a spike. It's been said that Del Toro knew there would be a physical angle with Hannibal, but that he did not agree to go as far as Hannibal did. And I've just seen the pictures of the stitches he had on his head, and this guy had like these puncture marks all around his skull. Apparently, suffered a torn artery in his head during this. And if you want to, you know, I won't watch the footage. I just seen the picture, unfortunately. If you want to send money, he's got a GoFundMe. It's help Lando with medical expenses with dashes in between each word. Help Lando with medical expenses. GoFundMe.com. You can find it. And
So have you heard of Hannibal before?
I've never heard.
This guy is an idiot.
Oh.
He used to do interviews of wrestlers. He would pay wrestlers to Skype with him and he would do interviews with them, except he knew nothing about any of the wrestlers and would literally ask them questions reading down his Wikipedia page. So he would do that.
That's dangerous.
So he also at one point, he was in the news before years ago, he sued Abdullah the Butcher for giving him Hep C.
Oh, I remember that dude. He was a guy with a WWE contract. Did they cut it?
He didn't have a WWE contract. He looked at in developmental. He would have been kicked out immediately. The guy doesn't know how to wrestle. The only reason he makes these shows that he does, he's from Canada. So he's probably never going to be able to cross the border again after this. But the only reason he gets these shows is he pays for his own way to be on the shows, pays for his part of his opponent, and offers to work for free type deal. So the guy's blaming the fact that his mask was hard to see out. He wrestles in this mask every time he wrestles. His mask was hard to see out of. It was a spike he wasn't used to, all this other crap. The guy is just garbage. He never needs to be in a wrestling ring again, and I hope he gets brought up on assault charges.
Yeah, there's been plenty of stuff on him over the years that, 75% of the blame goes to him. But, I mean, this indie in Texas that has been booking him fairly consistently, they said they won't book him again, but, like, they're kind of at fault for booking him in the first place. Like, knowing his history and everything, like, he's not somebody I would ever book for anything.
Ask Selena De La Renta about him. She used to be his manager.
Oh boy.
She left for a reason.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you ever see the name Hannibal or the Blood Hunter, go the other way. Just throwing that out there. It was, yeah. And I've only seen, like I said, I've only seen pictures of the victim, and he has like these obviously it stitches all over his head. So I've heard that this guy has been unbooked for everything that he's supposed to be on after this. I mean,
just the crazy part about this is it gets like, it falls under the realm of like, oh, it was a pro wrestling show and the referee got paid like $75 or whatever. Like, had this happened outdoors in an alley, whatever, like, that's a major assault charge. When you look at the damage done to that guy's head.
Yeah.
Nicholson should be in jail after doing that. Absolute trash.
Oh, I agree. We've seen some crazy stuff and, you know, that. But nothing like that. I mean, that's
something. This is similar to mass transit.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. That's what I was thinking is maybe they should have sent someone out there to stop him, you know? I mean, or like, you know, security or something. But he probably would have thought I was part of the booking. Who knows? Well, nevertheless, don't look for the video. But if you want to help the guy out, it's help-lando-with-medical-expenses. And the referee Lando Del Toro, definitely, you know, he does not look happy about it. So one other piece of news, and then we'll get out of here because I think we've been going almost, you know, an hour, almost 2 hours. We are getting Ty Conti here, I believe, the match right now. So
that match is on.
Yeah, so they got and all their seconds are out there too. So, you know, Tisha Price, does that name mean anything to anybody? Tisha Price, she signed with the WWE. She was, she's using the name, Fallon Henley in the WWE, but she was, wrestling for AEW. She wrestled on a bunch of their, dark shows, and, she's also wrestled AEW. Her real name is Tisha Price, but, she wrestled, AEW.
Tasha.
I'm sorry.
She's been on dark quite a bit. I didn't even see that she got signed.
Yeah, they just signed her, and she's going to be in NXT. She even changed like her Twitter handle and everything. So you could probably still see her in some of the old dark shows as well. So they signed. You know, it's funny when they cut everybody, and then every once in a while they'll sign somebody. You know, it's like it's probably tough if you're a free agent wrestler to want to sign with WWE. You know. Especially with the mass cuts they seem to have after big shows every year. Makes sense now why they do it after big shows, because people get drawn in by those big names, and then, you know, and they're not worth the money they're paying them, obviously, beyond the show. They cut them. So
she had 20 matches on Dark/Elevation and one on Dynamite, which was just a squash loss to Abaddon. So, yeah, 0-21 in her AEW career. But
they saw enough in her to sign her. So, you know, good for Tasha. Good, you know. So, I don't know. You guys, anything else we should talk about in the world of wrestling? Because I think we're going to have that 10-man match or whatever up next here in a second. Probably going to get the announcement here of the Owen Hart Cup too. We haven't seen it yet, unless they did it in a voiceover that we couldn't hear. Since I muted it, I can't think of anything else we want to talk about. Anybody out there?
Yeah, I feel like if it was news in the world of wrestling this week, we hit it.
Yeah, there's got to be all. I like at least Dante stayed with us the whole time. He's constantly he definitely. It's funny is that he's made a comment about the captioning. We got the captioning on for this, and you should see some of the disastrous misspellings that happen in the captioning. Maybe it's just because I have a mush mouth doing this, thank you, Dante, for being there, and everybody, all the other five people who are still out there. It's getting pretty late. It's almost 10:40. And I think we ought to call it a night. So next week, I'm not sure what we're going to do next week, because Christmas Day is the Saturday morning when we usually do, so we have to record again on Friday night, Christmas Eve. That's going to be a tough one too. We'll figure it out. Just keep following us on Facebook. We will we'll let you know what's going on.
We could pull a WWE and we could do like the Sunday after, we could do Christmas Backlash.
We could do, you know, we could, and I would definitely, you know, that may be a good option. Oh, and it, the, I'm not going to say
opening day of the World Junior Tournament. I'm out.
Well, we'll figure out when it's going to happen. We got a few days to figure it out, but I want to thank everybody for listening. Please tell your friends about us. You know, we're friend us on Facebook, follow us on iTunes, follow us, and you can listen to any of our old show on iTunes, feelthepain.net, thepainclinic.net. There's so many places you can find us. Dante suggests we do, what was this he said? Thunder? No, I suggest Thursday instead of Christmas Eve. Yeah. And I mean, that's an option as well. You know, we'll figure it out this week though, but we got, you know, there's still, and who knows, everything's going to go kind of, I mean, WWE is going to be taped tonight for next week. Maybe we'll take the week off. We got the end of the year coming when we got to do our awards, the painties.
There it is.
It's coming up. Oh, there it is. Yeah. Look at that. We're getting the announcement right now on Owen Hart. I want to stay.
Oh, okay. I'm going to listen to this.
Okay, yeah.
We'll see you guys next week.
Guys, take it easy, man.